Our Old Testament lesson is from Genesis chapter 22, beginning in the first verse. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, one on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham arose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey and the boy, and I will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac his son. And he said, and he took on his hand the fire and the knife. So they both went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but there is the lamb. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So they both went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and he laid wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, and he took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord, he called out from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham, he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his own son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mountain of the Lord it shall be provided. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt like Abraham, wondering what in the world is going on and how is life going to turn out? And how is the Lord going to provide for me in the midst of this crazy situation that I'm caught in? Maybe with all the news stories in my world, I'm wondering as I'm watching the news with Hurricane Florence, what in the world is going to happen? How is this going to turn out? How is the Lord going to provide for all these people in the path of danger? And so maybe as you're often wondering to yourself, as you watch the news, maybe you ask yourself, like Abraham, "Okay, God, how's this all going to turn out? How are you going to provide for me and the people around me?" One of the most frustrating and one of the most difficult things about being a Christian and living the Christian life is having God lead your life, but not always knowing where the Lord is taking you to or how he's going to get you through life. From our Old Testament lesson, we can learn a few things about Father Abraham that are very interesting to us, or at least to me. The first interesting thing about Abraham is that he trusted in God's goodness. He trusted in God's faithfulness. When Isaac was asking about where is the sacrifice going to come from, Abraham trusted in God, and he said, "God will provide." The second interesting thing about Father Abraham in this story is about how Abraham, when he was told and given guidance by God, didn't play a game of 20 questions. "Well, Lord, if I do this, how is it going to turn out? Or what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? What's my life going to look like in a month or two from now? Or what am I going to tell my spouse if I don't come back with my son?" The third thing that's interesting to me about Abraham is that he didn't throw a pity party as he was going through the middle of this bizarre and unique situation. But rather, he simply followed God because he knew that somehow God would provide. You see, Abraham, he knew that God would provide. But let me ask you, do you trust that the Lord is going to provide for you, for your family, for your health, for your future, for this country, for our economy? All of us watch with so much negativity, or we see all the negativity in the news, in the nightly news. We hear about Chinese aggression across Asia. We hear about all the nuclear problems with North Korea, with Syria, with Iran. We see as the stock market is going up and up in value, and we wonder, is there a crash that will happen in the years to come? We know there's been big tax plan changes, and how is that going to change people's charitable giving over the next couple of years? Everybody's kind of waiting and seeing. We're seeing in the news how there's so much division in American politics. So with all this negativity in the news, as you walk by faith, are you walking by faith, I should ask, or are you walking by sight? Are you allowing all the fears that this world offers us to overwhelm you and take the joy of the Lord from you? You see, in the middle of the chaos of this life, in the middle of the craziness of this world, the only thing that you can do is to rely on God. Because when you do not rely on God, you internalize all the stresses of life. You become overwhelmed at all the negative possibilities that could happen. Counselors and psychologists have looked at our generation over this last decade or two, and they have noticed an increased level of people who are stressed out, who are overwhelmed, who are angry. And research shows an increased amount of stomach ulcers, sleep disorders, and overall just discontentment with life. When you walk by sight and when you don't walk by faith as Abraham did, you'll be miserable. When you're feeling overwhelmed by this world, remember that God is in control, even if it doesn't feel like he's in control. When you're feeling overwhelmed by this world, you can remember that God is almighty. He's all-powerful, that he's got this situation under control. When you're feeling overwhelmed about what's going to happen next in life, or what's going to happen to my family, or my own situation, or my family's health, you can always turn to your Lord in prayer. And when you're feeling overwhelmed, you can remember that it is God that is taking care of every single one of your earthly needs. In Psalm chapter 37, verse 25, King David, he wrote, "I have been young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken." I love those words of King David, that because it's such a good reminder to you and me that we are God's children and he does not forsake us. I remember growing up as a kid and just enjoying the things of this world. My parents would just provide for me. And I always had shelter. I always had food. I always had everything that I need. I even had my favorite bicycle and everything. And nothing was going on in my brain except for I'm hungry, I like sports, and I think girls are pretty. There was nothing going on besides pure trust that I'm taken care of. And now that I have a 10 and a 12-year-old boy, I can see that they have no clue on how the world works or what's going to happen next. They simply trust that Mom and I will take care of them, give them all that they need, and probably spoil them in ways they don't deserve. But in a similar way, your Heavenly Father is taking care of every one of your needs. God is providing the roof over your head. He's providing the food for you and your family, the clothes that you wear, everything that you have for this body and soul. But even more importantly, God is taking care of you and your loved ones spiritually in this life. Because the things of this world come and go. Money comes and goes. The stock market goes up and down. Sometimes you'll have more money and sometimes you won't. But because of the economy or changes in the United States government, you might not have what you had before. You might have more than you do now. Nobody knows the future. But it's the things that God has given you that are the things that truly matter. They can't be taken from you. They can't be taxed away by the government. You see, the economy, the weather, this world, they can never take away the love of your spouse. They can't take away the love of your family. The things in this world and the economy, they can't take away the church from you where you experience the love of God and Christians every week. The economy and the things of this world, they cannot take away your faith. They cannot take away from you the forgiveness of your sins. They can't affect your relationship with your Heavenly Father either. You see, all these truly important things of your life, no economy, no government, no weather storm can take away from you. And just as the Lord provided for Abraham, remember that the Lord is providing for you. And God, our Heavenly Father, has given you not only his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He has called you by name to be his child. He died for you. He forgave you. And now you have no fear of the eternal consequences of your sins. So as I am personally monitoring Hurricane Florence and all the news reports that this could be the worst storm in history of the East Coast or the Southeast or whatever they're saying on the news, in the middle of the scary times that we live in, we can take comfort in the words of our Heavenly Father when he said to Abraham, and Abraham spoke, God will provide. At the time, Abraham didn't know how it was going to happen. He didn't know what was going to be the future. The future was something that he could have never imagined. But you see, the devil in this world, they love to twist your mind to get you down, to make you feel miserable. The devil in this world love to take from you the superficial things of this life. But the devil, this world, and his politicians can never take from you the love of your spouse, your family, your church, your faith, the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won for you on the cross. Your Heavenly Father will keep his word to you. He will supply your earthly needs, and he will bless you continuously spiritually. 3,000 years ago, King David, he said, I have been young, and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Your Lord will not forsake you. He will not forget about you. He's got you. He knows you by name, knows the hairs on your head, and to him, you are special. He knows everything about you, and he cares about you so much that he died to give you the forgiveness of your sins and to keep you in this one true Christian faith until the day that you die. Now may this grace, which surpasses all of our understanding, may it guard your hearts, may it guard your minds through Jesus Christ, who is this world's only Lord and Savior. Amen.